The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by Comcast, North Shore University Health System, PNC, and Miller Lite. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome in to PNC Studio here at Hallis Hall with you till 7:30 tonight as we break down the Bears' nail-biting loss to the Green Bay Packers. John Fox, good evening. How you doing?
Doing okay.
It was a heck of a game.
Well,
it was.
It was that. You know, we had our moments. Unfortunately, like many games this year, we came up a little short.
You tired of saying that?
Yes.
Tired of feeling
it's a broken record? Yeah, it's... It is, but I will say this. Everybody talked about the inclement weather. Our fans were awesome. Can't wait till we start winning a bunch around here and they get a lot more to cheer about.
Yeah, asked a lot of them to come out to that weather.
No doubt. Yeah. You know, I think somebody said I'd be pleasantly surprised, and I was. They showed up in good force. You know, some of them were Green Bay fans, but typically they are. You know, I think it just shows you the kind of fans in this region, and our local fans are awesome.
It is the best. I mean, and we just don't say that to say it. It sounds good. I mean, I've been with this organization now a long time, and the way they travel, have you seen? And when the day comes when the winning is now a standard as opposed to trying to figure out what's going wrong, it's going to blow the minds of the players, especially the young guys who haven't witnessed it yet. Yeah, they've witnessed it at a college level, the pomp and circumstance of college, but when it's just the type of fan base that when you go down and then Sunday dinner, it's just knife and fork on the plate and there's dead silence because it affects their whole week.
Yeah.
And then when they win, it's just exuberance and it makes their week. I mean, that's what you're striving for.
Yeah,
obviously.
I think, you know, I think there's enough guys in that locker room that get it and, you know, have been there. They've tasted it in other cities. We're getting closer.
But no moral victories. I hate using that line, but it was used yesterday in the locker room, and it was alluded to this afternoon as well, because there are some things that looked good yesterday, beginning with the comeback. And let's talk about the comeback.
Well, I think, you know, played a pretty good first half, you know, both sides of the ball, all three phases. And, we had a game, and, you know, we had an opportunity to receive the ball in the second half. And, you know, we proceeded to have the first three drives are all turnovers, you know, sack, fumble, and two interceptions, and of course fell down 17 points. And I'm sure a lot of those Colt fans were thinking about leaving, but you know, they hung in there, and our guys, offensively, we went on a tear in the fourth quarter and got his game tied up, and unfortunately couldn't close it out.
When you analyze that, they went on a tear. I mean, they destroyed the Green Bay Packers. It was written about today post-game in Green Bay that they brought up concerns about the Packers' defense because of that, again, bringing back memories of a three-game stretch when they were getting ripped pretty good. But it was over 16 first downs to one for Green Bay in that fourth quarter. Does that give you great optimism, or do you have to also put it in context a little bit based on how they were playing defense with that kind of lead?
Well, I mean, this game's about consistency, and to become a championship team, become a winning team, you've got to do it consistently, week in, week out, day in, day out. And that's what we've had issue with. You know, I think really on the day, you know, we were -4 in a turnover ratio. I don't care who you're playing. That doesn't bode well, you know, especially a good team and a bit of rival like the Green Bay Packers. So, some of those consistencies, will come with time with more experience. And, that's kind of been our difference this year.
While Matt did bounce back in a big way, do you think it jolted him the first snap of the third quarter when you're ready to get going again? You got a tie game. And sack, strip, fumble on the first snap to take a few series for him to settle down, in your opinion, or not?
Well, I think, you know, he just tried to force some things, a little bit like the first half against Tennessee. You know, we had a couple picks down in the red area, you know, to take points off the board. And then, you know, he kind of did a similar thing, you know, against the Titans here. And you know, I think we were down 21-7 and brought us back. So, you know, there's been the good, and I think most of it's been good, but there's still a couple of those things that we're going to work on. And Matt's the kind of guy that will, grab the bull by the horns and make it happen.
As it was rolling and it was a drive when Alshon scored, Tom Thayer called it the Alshon Jeffrey drive because he became an instant offense, really, for the Bears at that point. Did that give you confidence in your decision-making as it unfolded at the end of the game because your offense was clicking and your defense had two straight three-and-outs? Were you feeling confident about all that to help you win?
Yeah,
the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think we had momentum. I think... until we get first and goal at the three, and then we get backed up by a holding penalty. That was a
killer penalty.
That was real rough. But those are the kind of things that, we have to eliminate, to win close games in the NFL, and most of them are.
As you watch the tape today, was it harder to get to Jeffrey in the first three quarters based on what the Packers were doing or just with his progressions, Matt, in terms of what he's read?
Well, I think, kind of both. Matt Barkley had not thrown a pass to Alshon. So, we had practice all week, and that does prepare you. But, you be honest with you, over the last months, it earned some confidence in some of the other guys. And, it took a while to kind of get in the mix and flow of things. And, some of it was, defense-related. But, Matt has keys and adjustments and where he's supposed to go with the ball, and it took a little time.
That confidence in those other receivers definitely show with, again, 100-yard performances from Meredith and Deontay Thompson. We talked about him post-game real quick. And Bellamy with that touchdown.
Yeah, I think, like I said, that's who Matt has earned his rapport with over the last month when Alshon wasn't here. And so, like anything, you kind of go with what you're comfortable with. And that's what Matt did. And, as it went, he got more and more comfortable with Alshon.
You've been asked this a zillion times, so we get to the final 3rd and 11 of the game, and the game's on the line, so to speak. Is some of the coverage call and all that also confidence at this point in that player? Okay, I know it's not about one player, but it wound up as a one-on-one matchup with Cravon LeBlanc and help me out, I just went blank. Jordy Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
How could I forget?
87.
Jeez.
Right, yeah.
Jordy Nelson running on. But, I mean, is that part of the decision-making also?
Yeah, I think, you make calls. It's about executing the call. I think, Cravon, was in good position. I think his angle could have been adjusted better. But, that's players make plays in key moments. And, Aaron and Jordy have been around longer than Cravon has. And so at the end of the day, as I explained to our media today, there's not a DB that's worth his salt that's never been beat, just like a receiver that's never dropped the ball. It happens. And, you got to have a short memory, and you got to kick the dust off, get back up, and go back to work.
Well, and for a young player, a rookie, to answer questions like he did after the game, he's very calm, very professional about it. That was impressive.
Yeah, look, it's... it's a tough guy game. And like I said, you have to have a short memory. And, when things don't go well, no matter what your position is, you stand up and you basically explain the best you can to what happened. And, it's like any mistake. You got to admit it, and then you got to fix it, and then you got to let it happen again.
If there were a safety at the deepest part of the whole deal, would that be something that you could also have done there?
Well, there were safeties back there. it's just... again, I don't like getting into evaluating players, whether it's on the radio or anywhere in the media, but obviously we didn't execute as well as we could, and it's a play we'd like to have back, and there was plenty of them.
Learning experiences, every bit of it, along the way for this young Bears team.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Barkley on the take, giving left, Howard on the cutback, inside to the 5, Howard slams into the end zone! Jordan Howard, a 9-yard run, and things have become interesting at Soldier Field.
Yes, it definitely did, and that touchdown, and this is what we decided after the game. The player of the game is Jordan Howard, brought to you by Xfinity. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at PNC Studios at Halas Hall. Now 141 away. I'm going with 1,200 because 1,000 yards in a 16-game season is nice. But man, he can even break Matt Forte's rookie rushing record. I know it's not important to you in terms of that stuff, but later in his life he might care about it. But he's got two full games to try and get there. Jordan Howard.
Hey, I wish nothing but the best for the young man. He's worked very hard. He's a special young man. I think a lot of good's happened for him, and he's earned all of it. But the way he's handled that, been the same guy every day, is very impressive.
And he's also eighth in the NFL in rushing yards right now. Not bad with Ezekiel Elliott getting all the attention. Jordan Howard, though, getting a lot of heads turned around the league and the analysts out there running the football. What, other than the obvious, the final play of the game, what haunts you about yesterday, the bigger picture of what went wrong at different points of the game? I would particularly take you down the path of the missed tackles in that run game.
Well, I think, you know, really at the end of the day, minus four in the turnover margin.
You're still doing that one.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
I say minus three. You can't... The Hail Mary's a hail,
well,
you know,
I mean,
right?
You can even, I can go a step further. You could say the fourth and three stop but with no points our defense made was a takeaway. But even at minus two, all right, it's hard to overcome, you know, and that's turning it over on offense, and we have to find ways to take it away. We had a couple opportunities, a dropped interception that could have taken points off the board. You know, there's the turnovers we're talking about, you know, in the third quarter, not to give them that kind of lead. So it's just, you know, even an error holding, you know, first and goal at the three. You know, that changes a lot of things. You know, just even the last play, third and 12, and very similar situation 2 weeks ago in Detroit. It's third and 17, and they throw a play for 55 yards. So it's just, you know, we have a young football team that, you know, is learning on the job, and sometimes that's going to happen.
Is Mike McCarthy pulling everybody's leg on Ty Montgomery because he said he's 250 pounds now? He's listed as 219.
Yeah, well, he's the real deal.
Did he look?
Though. Yeah, I mean, we saw him in Lambeau. You
of
know,
course.
So it wasn't like
he didn't look 250.
He was some mystery guy.
No, not that, but
yeah,
he's 250?
I don't know what he weighs, but he's big and he's physical. You know, I think he understands protections. I mean, he proved himself as a running back in our first meeting, you know, in Lambeau.
So in terms of, I mean, did you feel that there were not as many missed tackles as maybe people thought, or are they just not in, were they in position to make plays?
We just didn't play the run very well,
okay,
you know, to be quite honest with you. And some of it's obviously missed tackles, and there were you know, their share of those. But, you know, again, it's going to be something we're going to have to fix and have to get fixed quickly.
Crazy. We're going to talk to Sam Garns later, but, you know, you've played 13 defensive backs this year already.
Yeah.
That's a high number.
Very high.
Out of need, obviously, because of injury and so forth, but how do you develop any continuity back there with that?
Well,
that's
I think,
have you ever done that? 13 defensive backs?
It's not ideal, all right, but it's you know, what we have, and we're kind of all we got. And, you know, they're fighting their tails off. I mean, they're working hard. You know, Cravon LeBlanc a week ago had a pick six to take the lead against the Detroit Lions in Detroit. So, you know, there's growing pains for sure.
Some of the news of the day, Eddie Royal can't come back from that toe injury, so IR, another veteran on IR.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've been trying to nurse it back, and wasn't making much progress. So, you know, with two games remaining, you know, just give a young guy an opportunity.
And Jarrell Freeman, should we just assume he's going to be on the roster after the suspension or no?
They've got a little saying about assume, but I think really, you know, it'd be hard-pressed, a little bit like Alshon.
Did you just say you have a saying about assume? I didn't get that till right now. I got it.
Yeah. All right. I really couldn't produce that over the air. Greg wouldn't let me.
We have beeps.
But, no, I mean, I think it's a fair assessment. Yeah. I'm sure the Redskins got that figured out, too.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Clay fake, they're going to Alshon on the slant, goal line end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! Ending the frustration of four miserable drives.
I corrected that, Big John.
I might have made that same mistake. It felt like four.
No, because I forgot about it was a Hail Mary. So, but after that, the three straight turnovers. So you were pulling your hair out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you go in the locker room and it's a tight game, you know, you talk about, you know, we're pretty aggressive right before the half to get down there, and you know that was an interception and that was a turnover, but it didn't hurt anything. But to come out in the second half and start, you know, strip sack fumble, you know, interception, and go down 17 points is not the way you want to, you know, come out the second half.
pressure coming again. Pernell McPhee now, he practiced last week. A couple weeks in a row, you know, you get him a little rest during the course of the week. Has it made a difference? He says he feels stronger and he feels like he's really on his way back.
He's really done an amazing job. I mean, whether it's been monitoring his body weight, you know, kind of sculpting his body, his diet, you know, all the things that help you come off of the type of injury he had. You know, he's been pretty remarkable that way, the discipline it takes to do that. So he is getting stronger. He's getting a little bit lighter. He's getting a little bit stronger, and those things all help, you know, overcoming his injury.
Sometimes players, especially veterans, they don't necessarily want to get lighter because they feel maybe they've lost some of their mojo, their strength or whatever. Is that a discussion you have with players to try and alleviate their concerns sometimes when you tell them in the offseason? Or when you get your end-of-the-season meetings, hey, we need you 20 pounds lighter. We need you that way.
Well, so much of it is, you know, there's good weight and bad weight. And, you know, we talk about muscle mass, and they measure that and, you know, these submersion tests. And, you know, we monitor that. And obviously, the stronger you are, the better you are. So, you know, getting that right mix and getting rid of the body fat and increasing the body muscle is big for any athlete.
You ask a lot about Matt Barkley. He's an intriguing person right now in Chicago for good reason.
It should be.
Because no one really knew what to expect. So what would you tell fans right now about this guy?
You know, I'm excited about him. You know, it's a short look that we've seen so far. And much like our fans, you know, we as coaches didn't know him very well. I mean, we knew his background. We knew, you know, a lot of the things that he had been as a younger player. But in our program, doing what we're doing, you know, he was an unknown quantity. I mean, I remember, I think it was Michelle Tafoya. I don't remember at halftime coming out. So, Coach, how do you think Matt Barkley's going to do? And I go, well, we're about to find out.
That was a Green Bay game?
Yeah. So, you know, that's when we started learning about him. And I think our coaches have done a tremendous job. I think Matt himself has done a tremendous job. A lot of guys on IR, Jay Cutler included, have, you know, really helped Matt and still remain to help him, you know, in meetings and even on the sideline yesterday. But, you know, he's his teammates respond to him. You know, he's tough. He stays in the pocket. And he can spin it pretty good.
All right, Redskins on a Saturday, Christmas Eve, and they're playing tonight, so you'll get a good look at him here, and he'll let you go here soon to get on them. Is it good for your team that you have Redskins? I don't know if the Vikings are still going to be in it for the final game of the year, but the teams that you've played here that you've taken all the way to the end and really made some people uncomfortable playing the Bears, trying to get in the playoffs. Do you like the fact that this team is coming in here with playoff aspirations and it's good for your team? It makes it feel bigger,
It's
week 16.
I go all the way back, you know, Monday Night Football, Minnesota Vikings coming to town, you know, go to the Giants, you know, close game, Detroit last week, the Packers this week. I think, you know, again, it builds momentum. It builds confidence, you know, at this stage with our record, what it is, you know, it's about pride and respect. And, you know, your resume's on that tape. It goes around the league, and people know, and people look, at least people in our business that do it for a living. You know, they get it, and our guys understand that. That's why they're competing so hard. And, you know, a lot of these young guys are, you know, trying to make names for themselves. So, you know, that'll be thrown out there this week against the Redskins if they're in the playoff hunt, as well as the Vikings the final week of the regular season. And our guys understand that.
Kirk Cousins, an interesting and developing story as well, at quarterback. Back-to-back 4,000-yard seasons now.
Yeah, they're, you know, third in the league in offense, you know, in just about every important category. So you've got plenty of weapons. They're explosive. You know, they've played, you know, might be the best offense we've played all year.
Fourth in efficiency in the NFL offensively. Last thing, at this point in the season and the types of ways you've lost, what do you have in the tank in terms of messages and thoughts? And what do you tell these guys at this point in the season? What will you tell them tomorrow when you gather them together?
It comes down to execution. And, you know, you can use all kind of excuses. You're young, you're inexperienced. But, you know, the reality is talent's there. You know, we just have to execute more consistent. And that's how you win close games.
All right. Sam Garns, the second assistant secondary coach, coming up next. Go enjoy the evening. I know you're working, so you'll be watching more football.
I'm on my second shift.
That's right, exactly. Bears head coach John Fox, thanks for joining us.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. And this hour featuring assistant defensive backs coach Sam Garns. Brought to you by Verizon, North Shore University Health System, United Airlines, and Miller Lite. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Takes the snap, late blitz from the corner, coming at Rodgers, and he gets him down, sacks him down, he goes. The blitz by DeMontre Hurst finishes the job and comes home strong.
And the corner blitz did come home strong as we welcome you back to the Bears Coaches Show here at PNC Studios with assistant secondary coach Sam Garns. Good to see you. How you doing?
Good to be here.
I love corner blitzes.
Yep.
So do you guys now. You throwing those out there a little bit?
Yeah, we throw them around. You know, it's just when you blitzing as a defensive back, doesn't always get home. It's like it's not even as good as playing baseball. Like, you don't even bat 350 or 250. It's like 0.083. And when it comes, but when you get your sack, you feel like you're the best pass rusher in the league.
Right, and you want to keep doing it.
Exactly.
Hey,
right.
You know, one of the best was Rondé Barber at that, though. He was good. And he
good
hit more like 300.
Too. Good friend of mine. He was really good. He's in the 2020 club, right?
Yes, he is.
He was very impressive. So, you know, we came into the NFL together, and to watch him throughout his career, even when I was done, he kept playing. He was a tremendous pass blitzer. But, you know, cause it takes timing. And you got to kind of be in that situation. You can't just be up there when you're going to blitz because then they know you're going to blitz. So he's actually in the Tampa 2 system. He's always in that little area, and he did a good job of showing Tampa 2 and blitzing at the same time.
The value of that, if you get home on something like that, what does that do in a quarterback's mind from your perspective if it happens even one time in a game?
You gotta respect it, and you gotta they have to prepare. And it messes up the timing a little bit because if you have a nickel there, even though he might see the coverage, like DeMontre's playing nickel at the time, so he's sitting in the slot. And even though he sees the coverage, he needs to take a quick peek, make sure that guy's isn't coming because they're not always accounted for since they're on the outside.
Given your success as a player and your experience as a player, you're different to the guys in that room because you lived all what they live every day.
Right.
I'm certain you went up at some point today, or maybe not today, but tomorrow when the players report, Cravon LeBlanc, or after the game, because you are direct, you are honest, right, and you lived it.
Right.
What do you tell that kid?
Well, the hardest thing is it's more, it's like that one play happens. Like, you, Deion Sanders gave 2 or 3 touchdowns to Jerry Rice. One happens to the best corners out there, especially with a young corner. You go against a talented receiver like we was facing yesterday, and Jordy Nelson. And when you have a guy like that, they're going to, I don't care how good you've played in your time, they're going to keep going after that, going to that main guy. And, you know, we lost so many games, and it kind of just feels like it all fell on his shoulders. And that's what it feels. So easily, if it was just one game, you tell him it's one play, move on. But, you know, everybody's feeling down. We're trying to win games. And I think it's just the feeling of all the losses and everything, just feeling like he wished he could have helped us win that game. So just when I see him tomorrow, I'm going to tell him, I'm going to tell him, first of all, I'm going to tell him what he should have did right and what he did wrong. And then I'm going to let him know, you know what, just the next time you step on the field is what matters, because they're going to come back again. When they come back, now you go get an interception.
Sometimes whatever technique he used, or if he didn't do it exactly the way you want him to or coached it, you can get away with it. But against a future Hall of Fame quarterback, it's impossible.
Well, this is something I say. I'm not going to say any other coaches, but this is something I learned playing, being around some great coaches when I was playing and coaching as well. When you're right, you're right, and when you're wrong, you're wrong. So you could pull out your own bag of tricks if you want to, but you better be right because we teach you a certain way to do it. And I'm not saying that's what happened with Cravon. I think with him, it was more just, you know, he was by himself and just needed better leverage in that situation. And but, you know, you got to make your plays when they come, and that's all of us. And like I said, it's no shame in getting beat here and there. It's the next opportunity. People are going to come. They see you right now. We call it, I don't want to say it, I don't want to use this term loosely, but it's almost like a victim. They see it as an opportunity to go after a guy, and now you got a chance to make plays now. So if they come your way again next week, you should be working your butt off this week, hoping they come back so you can make another play and, you know, just feel a little bit better about yourself.
The Bears Coaches Show with assistant defensive backs coach Sam Garns and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
All right, welcome back to the program, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We're here until 7:30, and right now with Sam Garns. A bit later in the program, in our next segment, we'll rejoin John Fox from his first portion of the evening tonight. The best way to get ready for Saturday's Redskins-Bears game is to tune in to Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, a special Saturday edition at 10:30 a.m. on Fox 32 in Chicago. So I know you know this. 13 different defensive backs you've had to play this season already. So you've been working now.
No doubt. And, you know, it's like that sometimes during seasons, not quite like this regularly, but, you know, I think guys have been prepared, and we've mentally been preparing guys just in case you get injured, especially the year we had last year. We lost a lot of people as well. And I thought guys came in, like Cravon is coming and did a great job. Hurst, I go on for days naming people that came in. We got Jonathan Banks now, and who knows when we're going to need him. But it's unfortunate we got the injury bug. But I think guys have responded. We played fairly well. We haven't made the big turnovers, interceptions that we need usually to help you win games. But I think guys have been prepared, and they came out and have played well and been competitive. You know, you watch around the leagues, there's teams that has raised a white flag early, and our guys haven't done that. And that's something we could be proud of. It's not something, you know, it's not a moral victory type deal, but at least we have a chance to win most of the games we play.
Do you think because the bulk of the team is young, that will take root?
I was just telling Coach Fox that the other day. You know, sometimes you have veterans that they go through seasons like this. They got their money. They're thinking, you know what, it's Christmas time. I don't want to be injured to start my all season. Like, I'm an ex-player, so I know these starts. I'm not just pulling out thin air. And so I don't want to be injured to start my off season. I'm going to shut it down. Like, we'll have a little nick or something like that. I'd rather shut it down. But our guys are young, and they're looking hungry to prove that they belong in the league. And it's a good opportunity for them, and I think that's been part of the push along with the coaching staff and the other guys around the team to help the guys stay in these games.
Given the fact that you had a very good career as a player, too, and you played with some great players, as a coach, is your radar up then come December, you know, with that, with rooms, with locker rooms?
I really don't think about it, but when I see it, I know.
Yeah, you know. You know what it looks like.
Yeah, I'm not looking for that, but when it, you know, you see a rash of injuries all of a sudden, that's a sign for me. That don't mean I'm right, but that's a sign for me. And you see it around the league. I wouldn't call on the other teams. But I think our guys, you know, we had some real injuries in our guys with some of our veteran guys. Some, like, you know, guys like Purnell fighting to get back. You know, Q, our receiver, fighting to get back. Guys are real injured, broken bones. You know, that's not fake.
But right, you can't account for broken bones.
Not, it's not a sprained ankle or something like that. So, you know, guys are fighting.
With that, you have 9 first- or second-year players that have played in the secondary, 8 different starters. And I asked Coach Fox about this, and he has obvious experience as a defensive back coach and played in college. If you can explain to the average person what the difficulty is in developing a chemistry back there, from communication to whatever, with that kind of turnover each and every week.
Right. I would say it's tough because chemistry is developed through time. Not with just one play. It's not like we go out there, we play cover 2 every down, and we see the same route. Because then chemistry would perform easily as far as people on the field playing. You know where he is, where he is, and where the next guy's going to be. But when you have guys going in and out, and you're getting different routes, different coverages, you're trying to learn. You're teaching the guys the defense in a week that it took guys 6 months to learn and still haven't mastered it. Because it takes, even like, that's why most teams hit their stride midseason, because you start in April, and it's not like it was before where you have all this time. You know, you don't have
practice.
Time. So you got guys that are starting in April, and they're still learning. And I was just talking to one of the coaches today, like how Adrian Amos, certain coverage that we use, he just mastered it beginning of the season. And he went through a whole season, 16 games, certain things that you got to do, different techniques you got to use within the coverage. He just mastered it. And we have a guy that comes in, and we have to teach it to him. We got to teach him like a shorter version of it, because we can't teach him everything. We don't want to confuse him. We try to help him, put him in a position for what they're definitely going to get, what they're going to see more than likely, not all the different coverage.
So when that happens, it could spring a leak during the game.
It definitely could spring a leak if they do something that you don't expect. But you got guys that's been in the building 2 weeks. It's impossible to teach them everything. So you try to teach them. It's just kind of like the law of average. You know, you want to try to teach him something that more than likely he's going to see. So it's difficult at times to form chemistry with other players. Now, this whole time I was just talking to you about one guy. I didn't talk to you about who he's playing with. And that's, and just knowing each other, knowing where someone's going to be, is nothing like that, because that helps you play at your best.
Let me ask you this. Does it impact safeties more than corners?
No. because safeties can impact the corners more than the corners can impact the safeties, because the corners, they usually either by themselves or they're looking for help from us. Now, if you have a safety,
I like how you said us, given the fact you are a doggone good safety.
I gotta stop saying that.
You're safety.
But yeah, so yes, they look for help from safety. But the safety, he is the insurance policy for the corner. Like, there might be, I might be coming down in a fire zone coverage or something like that where I have a seam flat and I have the back if he releases. But if he don't release, then I could be there for the corner just in case they get a slant. He don't have to overplay a slant. But I mean, I might be being too technical when I say that. But when sort of for corner knows he's playing with, say he's playing with Deion Bush, he's been playing with all year long. Then you bring a new guy in, and that guy sees a route, and he just runs out of it. He goes all the way down, and he's in the backfield, and it's a run. The cornerback is left naked by himself. And there's little things like that, but so many situations that occur in that way.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears. News Radio on 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. With you until 7:30. A few more minutes here with Sam Garns, the assistant secondary coach. We talked about all these players that you've been coaching throughout the course of the year. I'm talking about some guys that haven't had the chance yet to get a lot of snaps that are young players or coming off injury. So I look at DeAndre Hall. Had great, great promise, obviously, given his size.
Yep.
Something, you know, missing really in the secondary, that kind of size. What do you see for him down the road for DeAndre?
Definitely contributing. I don't know when he'll be a starter, but his energy is so great. He's like, you know, when he walks into a room, like he's at a young age, you know, I love him. Like doing weird practice sometime, I have to give him my script, just give him something to do so he don't get in trouble because he talks too much. You know? and I say that positively because he know I love him. I joke with him all the time. They got so much energy that you got to give him something to do. And but anyway, his arms, he got great arm length, and that's a big-time deal to have as a defensive back. You know, if you can have that tool or long arms, you're born with that. No one can grow arms. And when you're a defensive back, you can be a little bit out of place and still make the play when you got long arms like him. And, you know, he's learning. You see him before he got hurt. I think he was getting better. And now, since he's been out, it took a step back because still he's a young guy. And it's a technique thing. And once his technique reaches his height, he'll be a really good player for us.
DeAndre Houston Carson.
Love that kid. A young safety coming to the league. Has a lot to learn as far as playing safety position. I do believe he played receiver at one point in his college career. He moved the defensive back. But his eyes are bright, wide open. He wants to do anything you tell him to do as a coach. And you, as all of us coaches, we fall in love with a guy like that as far as a football player. He reminds me of young Chris Brzezinski.
Back to Kravon. He never played outside corner, right?
Right. He's always been an inside guy. And I don't know if I think he played in college, but as far as NFL, he's been a nickel when he was in New England. And, you know, we were happy to get him. And you see the quickness, and you see him making plays every day in practice. And it was great to see him get an interception return for a touchdown last week.
Because the word was he's picking off passes in left and right. Do you total that stuff up during practice?
But it's there. You know, yeah. I don't do that. But no. You see him get a bunch of interceptions returning. The past places I've been, we kept stats like that, but that's not what we do here. He's a playmaker. And, you know, he's still young, and things are going to occur. Situations are going to arise that he haven't been in before, and he'll learn from that and grow. I'm just telling you, this guy works so hard. And you think about it, I just brought it up. He had an interception return last week, big play, feeling really good about himself. Then the next week, something bad happens, and that's the life of playing cornerback.
That is football.
Yes, sir.
Cornerback position. All right. We're out of time, but okay. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. You know I love being here, and I appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
All the fans, we fighting our butt off to get Ws.
Go get the Redskins. Earlier in the program tonight, tip of the cap to the fans from John Fox.
I just can't wait till we start winning a bunch around here, and they get a lot more to cheer about.
Yeah, asked a lot of them to come out to that weather.
No doubt.
Yeah.
You know, I think somebody said I'd be pleasantly surprised, and I was. They showed up in good force. You know, some of them were Green Bay fans, but typically they are. You know, I think it just shows you the kind of fans in this region, and our local fans are awesome.
It is the best. I mean, and we just don't say that to say it. It sounds good. I mean, I've been with this organization now a long time, and the way they travel, have you seen? And when the day comes when the winning is now a standard as opposed to trying to figure out what's going wrong, it's going to blow the minds of the players, especially the young guys who haven't witnessed it yet. Yeah, they've witnessed it at a college level, the pomp and circumstance of college, but when it's just the type of fan base that when you go down and then Sunday dinner, it's just knife and fork on the plate and there's dead silence because it affects their whole week.
Yeah.
And then when they win, it's just exuberance and it makes their week. I mean, that's what you're striving for.
Yeah, I think there's enough guys in that locker room that get it and, you know, have been there. They've tasted it in other cities. We're getting closer.
But no moral victories. I hate using that line, but it was used yesterday in the locker room, and it was alluded to this afternoon as well, because there are some things that looked good yesterday, beginning with the comeback. And let's talk about the comeback.
Well, I think, you know, played pretty good first half, you know, both sides of the ball, all three phases. And, you know, we had a game, and, you know, we had an opportunity to receive the ball in the second half. And, you know, we proceeded to have the first three drives are all turnovers, you know, sack, fumble, and two interceptions, and of course fell down 17 points. And you know, I'm sure a lot of those Colt fans were thinking about leaving, but you know, they hung in there, and our guys, you know, offensively, we went on a tear in the fourth quarter and got this game tied up, and unfortunately couldn't close it out.
When you analyze that, they went on a tear. I mean, they destroyed the Green Bay Packers. It was written about today, post-game, in Green Bay, that they brought up concerns about the Packers' defense because of that, again, bringing back memories of a three-game stretch when they were getting ripped pretty good. But it was over 16 first downs to one for Green Bay in that fourth quarter. Does that give you great optimism, or do you have to also put it in context a little bit based on how they were playing defense with that kind of lead?
Well, I mean, this game's about consistency, and to become a championship team, become a winning team, you've got to do it consistently, week in, week out, day in, day out. You know, and that's what we've had issue with. You know, I think really on the day, you know, we were -4 in a turnover ratio. I don't care who you're playing, that doesn't bode well, you know, especially a good team and a bit of rival like the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, some of those consistencies, you know, will come with time with more experience. And, you know, that's kind of been our difference this year.
While Matt did bounce back in a big way, do you think it jolted him the first snap of the third quarter when you're ready to get going again? You got a tie game and sack, strip, fumble on the first snap to take a few series for him to settle down, in your opinion, or not?
Well, I think, you know, he just tried to force some things, a little bit like the first half against Tennessee. You know, we had a couple picks down in the red area, you know, to take points off the board. And then, you know, he kind of did a similar thing, you know, against the Titans here. And I think we were down 21-7 and brought us back. So, you know, there's been the good, and I think most of it's been good, but there's still a couple of those things that we're going to work on. And Matt's the kind of guy that will, you know, grab the bull by the horns and make it happen.
All right, we're out of time for the Bears Coaches Show tonight. For head coach John Fox, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks to Greg Miller, Andy Gersher, and Keith Johnson. Bears will take on the Washington Redskins Saturday. We're going to have the pregame at 9, kickoff at noon on this Christmas Eve. Be sure to join us for that, and we will talk to you then. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great night.